Okay. For those of you listening on the radio, thank you for joining us. We're in, what is this book? The Brief Bible Readings of the Home. Is that what this book is? I'm pretty sure this is what that is. Brief Bible Readings of the Home. Or some books just say Bible Readings for the Home. And we're on chapter 35, The Parables of Christ. And then on Tuesdays, we do prophecy. We go into the same book, but we go into the prophecy section. Right now, we're concentrating on the character of Christ so that we can be more like him and expedite his arrival so that we can go home, get out of here, and leave this sin-filled orb we find ourselves gravitationally stuck to. All right, question number one. What reference is made in the Psalms to Christ's use of parables? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Psalm 78:2. And then the note says, a parable primarily means a comparison or similitude. Specifically, it is a short story or a narrative drawn from life or nature by means of which some important lesson is taught or some moral drawn. And like in today's world, we'll call them analogies. And that, and they are very effective. And the thing that I think that's pretty amazing about parables is the way the Lord could speak the absolute truth to people that don't even believe and they wouldn't understand it. But those that do understand it would, I mean, those that do believe would understand it. It's amazing how he can do that with words, with just mere words. I mean, it's already amazing enough to see when Jesus came out of the water and you hear the Heavenly Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then half the people only heard thunder. That's amazing all in itself. But words, to make it to where if you're thirsty enough, he will feed you and he'll give you water to drink, that's eternal water, and of course milk and meat of the gospel, and then you'll be able to understand things. The parables are just so amazing. I mean, theologians can read them and not understand what a babe in Christ can see. I think that is so amazing the way his word is truly a living word. All right, whoever has a mic, whoever wants to go next, go ahead. And thanks for being here, by the way.
From what sources did Christ usually draw his parables? From nature and from everyday experiences.
You know, that makes it easier for them to relate. And that is very powerful to do that. You know, I like doing it in sermons and stuff and in Bible studies on Sabbath, using everyday experiences that you have, because it makes it easier to understand, you know, what's going on or what you're trying to portray or share with someone. Teachers do that, too. It's a good way of teaching. I think nobody else has a microphone. Oh, well, Chris, you want to go again? Yeah, there's Library Girl. Mark's not here tonight. He usually uses his mic. Rick's not. Well, Rick sometimes comes on Tuesdays. But, okay, there you go. Library Girl, and then whoever's next.
Number three, for what are his parables noted? Our Savior's parables are distinguished above all others for clearness, purity, chasteness, intelligibility, importance of instruction, and simplicity. They are taken mostly from the affairs of common life and are intelligible, therefore, to all men. Dr. Albert Barnes on Matthew 13, verse 3.
Number four, following one of his parables, what did Christ say? Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, 9.
And that's what I was talking about. All men can understand these parables, of course, yes. But if you don't have ears to hear what he's actually saying, because a lot of times when he uses the parables, they're prophetic symbols or just biblical symbols. And it says so much more. That's one of the beauties of using the word. And we all know, we've all heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. You could say a lot more with a picture. And that's why I believe if the book of Revelation was explained per symbol, every nook and cranny of that book, that would be the biggest book on the planet. It would have to be. Because some of those symbols, you can go on for chapters just explaining what it's all about. It's so amazing. It's pictorial language.
What question did the disciples then ask? And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Matthew 13, verse 10.
And like this next one, number six, what reply did Christ make? Verses 11 and 13, or 11 to 13 says, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then the note says, Christ's object, therefore, in using parables was to teach the mysteries or truths of the kingdom of heaven. Truths not necessarily difficult to understand, but which had long been hidden or obscured by sin, apostasy, and tradition. In such a way that the spiritually minded and those desirous of learning the truth might understand them. And here's the neat thing. And the worldly minded and unwilling would not. And he's just doing that with words. That's just amazing to me. Finishing up, it says, when asked the meaning of any parable, Christ readily explained it to his disciples. And then it says, to see Luke chapter 8, verses 9 to 15, Matthew 13, verses 36 to 43, and Mark chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. Speaking of Mark, how you doing there, brother? You want to take number 7? This is a short one today. We've only got 10. So, but we all came in kind of late anyway. We didn't start till late. It didn't pop up for you? It should have. Well, here, let me refresh it then. It should have. I got it programmed in. That page there, just scroll down to number 7. He probably didn't see us typing in there, no audio, no sound, because he's reading. Check your mic, Mark. Check your mic, Mark. That sounds strange. Go ahead. Hey there, Birch Hill. Nice to see you. Go ahead, Mark. Give it a minute there, Birch Hill. Mark's having mic problems. So he'll get it fixed here in a minute. Yeah, Birchill, did the page pop up? Do you have a page that says Bible Readings for the Home, 1914 edition? Did it pop up for you? Okay, good. Oh, Mark's microphone's not going to work. Okay, whoever wants to take number 7, go for it.
After giving instruction by the use of parables, what question did Christ ask his disciples? Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all things, all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord, verse 51.
Number 8, how extensively did Christ make use of parables? All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Would that be Mark 4:34? Note. Parables are simply stories. All young and old like to hear a story. Storytelling is one of the most successful means of awakening an interest, securing attention, and teaching, illustrating, and enforcing important truths. Christ, the greatest of all teachers, recognized this and therefore made constant use of this method of instruction.
Number 9. How did Christ suggest that his disciples follow his example in teaching gospel truth? Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Verse 52.
I think I got this thing fixed. Can y'all hear me now? Okay, well, I'll read number 10 then. Which are some of the most touching and soul-winning of Christ's parables? The parable of the lost sheep and that of the prodigal son. Luke 15, 3 through 7, 11, 32. Note, each parable is designed to teach someone great and important truth. The first 12 in the list here given are intended to teach the following lessons. Respectively, God and evil in life and judgment, value of the gospel, seeking salvation, the visible church of Christ, truths new and old, duty of forgiving others, call in various epochs, insincerity and repentance, need of righteousness, watchful and careful profession, and use of abilities, and final separation of good and bad.
Amen. And yeah, I agree, Bonnie. That's a nice list. It's got Christ's parables recorded in only one gospel. It's a whole, I don't know why it says in only one gospel. It shows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John there. I know, just Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Then it says recorded in two gospels, Matthew, both, you know, just all Matthew and Luke. And then recorded in three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I guess, yeah, it's showing how some of the parables, some of the apostles repeated what they heard and understood regarding the parable. Whereas the rest of those recorded in only one gospel, I would think like the parable of the tares, you're only going to find that in Matthew. And so on and so forth, going on from there. But that's some pretty amazing, he spoke a lot. Well, just like, you know, Psalm said, he would speak in parables. Let me see what this next one, miracles of Christ, that's the next one. That one's 25 long. And then that one also has a list on the bottom of it. So if you want, we could jump into the next one, or we could read from Sister White. Whatever y'all want to do, it's up to you. You know, because if we go into another one, I'll have to stop the recording and start it up again. You know, this is a quick one. We got done with this in, I don't know, 20 minutes. We started it about 5 or 10 after. I don't remember how, you know. Yeah, there you go. Okay. If you guys want to dig something up, let me turn off the recorder.